now from bondage and slavery to sin, and now we're free to worship God, aren't we? And part of that is in song. Thank you, brother, for that fantastic song leading. And thank you all for being here this morning. God appreciates us all coming together. We know that's what he expects from us, to come together as Christians and encourage one another and spur one another on toward loving good deeds. And I think about living down there in Texas for a short time, and they're really into those horses and ranches and spurring the horse on, right, to get it going. You don't want to be abusive, but that's where the word comes from. That's where the idea comes from in Hebrews. And God knows we need that. So we need to be here this morning. It's a blessing to be here with you. If you're visiting with us, perhaps you've never been here or you've been visiting for a while, we're so thankful you're here. And I know you'll be blessed, not because I came up with some fancy outline, but you'll be blessed because there's scripture in the outline. And God's word never returns to him void. So the preacher might make some mistakes or missteps, not false teaching, but God's word will do its work, won't it? God's word will do its work. We hope you'll decide to make this your church home and your church family. And it would be too long a story if I start sharing my whole story, but I can tell you from experience, there's a loving family of God here. I can tell you from experience, if you don't know everyone here, none of them are perfect. All right? So you can expect that, including myself, but people here who love God and will love you and help you grow and mature in the faith. So we hope you'll make this your church home, and the Lord will lead you here to the Lassen Street Church of Christ. I want to begin this morning by asking you a question. What do you listen to? And in preparing this sermon, I had to ask myself the same question, to be honest with you. And it could be scary sometimes when I really think about maybe things I've listened to in the past, become more conscious and aware of what I'm listening to throughout the week, each hour of the day. So I don't know what your answer is to that question. I know what mine is, and I wrestle with God about that, what to listen to and what to open my ears to. I will confess to you this morning that I do listen and commit some time to listen to country music. Not too much time, Lord willing, but I like some country music. Some of it can be bad. I got to change the channel or flip ahead on the Pandora. My kids connected me to Pandora on my phone. I got to watch that it's a blessing and not a curse. But there's a song by Chris Young, and the title is I Hear Voices. And you don't want me to sing the song for you this morning, but I'll give you the gist of the song. The gist of the song is, and Vicky brought up the video, it's actually a very family-oriented video and everything. Basically, he's saying, I hear voices. I hear Grandpa's voice saying, work that job, but don't work your life away. In other words, keep a balance in life. I hear my dad saying, you know, don't quit that team or you'll be the quitter the rest of your life. And I was thinking, I hope that's not true because I did quit a team once. I hear my mom say, put some offering in the offering plate on Sunday. Had to bring that one up, but a little late now. And then he says, I hear voices when life seems to have so many choices. I hear voices. And I hear, he hears these voices of people who have loved him and nurtured him and tried to help him along life's way to become to become a man and take on his responsibilities. So he's basically saying throughout life, I hear these encouraging, nurturing, guiding voices in the back of my mind. But it begs the question for me this morning and for you, what voices are chasing around in our mind? I don't think we need to be committed to a mental institution because we hear voices. I hope that's true, that we all hear a little voice in our head, right? Even the cartoons reflect that, the little voice of the angel here and a little voice of the devil on the other shoulder, right? So I hope it's true for most of us, if not all. But the question is, what am I hearing? What voices are you hearing after the Sunday sermon and after the Bible classes as each hour and each day of the week slips by to the following Lord's Day? Do you hear the sweet voice of Jesus throughout those hours and throughout those days that make up your week. And those weeks eventually make up the months of our lives and then the years of our lives as we come to the end of another year. Jesus is worthy to be listened to. He's worthy for Mike Sherman to set aside some time to not multitask, which I can't do at all, by the way. Most men struggle with that. Put aside the multitasking and just focus and listen to Jesus and to what he has to say. The words of Jesus, those red letter words, if you will, in the Bible, but the rest of the Bible, too, are really the words of God, the words of Jesus, his inspired word, because they're his inspired apostles, hand-picked apostles and inspired writers of the New Testament. We begin this morning with Matthew chapter 17 and starting in verse 1. Matthew chapter 17 and starting in verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. I wish I could be in their mind and hear the little voices in their mind. Where are we going? What's going to happen when we get there? That's what would be going through my mind. How about you as they trek up this high mountain by themselves? By the way, I'd be wondering, I don't know, I tend to ask questions and be inquisitive. Why do we leave the others behind? Are we in trouble? Right? We don't know. The Bible doesn't reveal it, but they were human. We know that. In verse 2, there he was transfigured before them. They had, in their time with Jesus up to this point, they had never seen anything like this. They had seen and experienced many things with Jesus in his earthly ministry, but never had they seen him transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was speaking, while Peter was still speaking, you might say he got rudely interrupted. While he was speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Listen to him. I'm trying to bring out the exclamation mark. It's there in the Bible. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, comforted them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. In verse 9, as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The scene we find here, I have no idea how God expects a preacher to somehow communicate what they saw. So we'll try to allow the word to communicate this scene to us. His face, Jesus' face, shone like the sun. When I think about that, the brightness of the sun, we know we can't even look directly into the sun or we'll do damage to our eyes. And that gives us some idea of how bright his face shone that day. His clothes became as white as the light. His clothes themselves were bright. I kind of picture them not quite as bright as the sun, though, as the word describes his face. And then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah. And of course, we have no idea what they physically look like, but we are told from Scripture they were standing there talking with Jesus. They're having a conversation. Now, these disciples knew of Elijah. They didn't live during their time. They didn't know them personally, Moses and Elijah. But they knew they were faithful servants of God, didn't they? These were Jewish men. They knew the Old Testament history. They knew how God had worked so powerfully through these servants of his. And then we see Peter in this scene. And Peter is consistent in his eagerness to help, his eagerness to serve. And what does he do? He makes an offer. What can I do to help? Can I put up three shelters for you? And it was kind of selfless if you think of it. He didn't say six. It was for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, right? And he really had a servant's heart. But then, as I mentioned, he kind of got rudely interrupted as Jesus followed through with his plan and with his revelation to Peter and the others. What really strikes me as I read the text, while he was speaking, that cloud enveloped them, and then this voice from the cloud. I got stuck on that as I prepared this sermon. That voice from the cloud. We don't know what that voice of God sounds like. They got to hear it, that they were privileged to hear that voice of God that day, weren't they? We don't know what it sounds like, but we do know what that voice said. This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. You know, throughout the Old Testament, we hear that reference to the voice of God. That could be a whole other sermon series, and we're not going to go all the way there this morning, but come back with me to Genesis. It brought to my mind Genesis 1, the power of the voice of God. There's power and action behind the voice of God. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, and God said, "Let there be light." There was light. God spoke this world into existence. In verse 6, God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water," and so on. As you read on, and it was so. God spoke again, and it was so. Verse 9, God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear," and it was so. God spoke, and it was so. Verse 14, God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night." And as you read on, we see this is a creation of the sun and the stars and the universe outside of this earth as we know it. And it was so, as you read on in verse 15. In verse 20, God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures." He created all living things at his command and by his voice. "Let them teem with living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky." God created the great creatures of the sea. Dropping down to verse 24. God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds. Livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals." And then we see at the end there, "And God saw that it was good." It was done. Verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground." In verse 27, he summarizes, revealing that God, through his power, created man and woman. So God created man in his own image, verse 27. "In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them." Man and woman are both alike, created in the image of our God. He blessed them and told them to be fruitful and increase in number. "Fill the earth and subdue it." I think mankind has done pretty well with that command. How about it? And it's God's blessing, of course, that this takes place as God intended. Genesis 2 and verse 7, as we think about God's voice and his power in creation, he created man. The Lord God formed The man from the dust of the ground, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. You see, God has the power to take everyday dirt, soil, breathe life into it, and create a man in his own image. And we hear those references in funerals, don't we? Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. From dust we came, and to dust we shall return. This temporary tent that God has placed our eternal spirit in. And then God, in his mercy, kindness, if you will, gave to the man woman. He made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man in verse 22 and brought her to the man. And the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of a man and to be at the side of man," and that we might be a blessing to one another. In verse 24, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." These are the roots and the first history of mankind and marriage and family and the creation of this great world and this great earth that we live in. Getting back to our text, it was all at the command and by the voice of God himself and by his breath as he breathed life into man. I hope that's still amazing to us, still amazing to me as we think about it this morning. Better set these aside as I go. This same God said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. I'll listen to him." Matthew 17 and verse 5. Moses and Elijah, as I mentioned, were great and faithful servants of God, but they were men created by God. Jesus is God. Jesus is the God-man. He's God in the flesh. Jesus himself said in John 14 and verse 9, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." I hope that still amazes you this morning as it amazes me. Anything I read about Jesus, anything I see in his nature, in his character, in the actions, and all that he did during his earthly ministry, in looking intently at Jesus, I'm looking intently at God himself. In all that he taught, in all that he did, in all the power that he exhibited in raising Lazarus from the dead, causing the lame to be healed and leap around with joy, and the blind to see, the deaf to hear. In all that we did, we see our great and awesome God in heaven. If we're willing to take the time to listen, if we're willing to take the time to look at his life and study it, consider it, and then consider its implications for us and blessings for us in our lives. What's so sad so many times, in my own life as well, I share with you, I've been a Christian a long time, since I was 19. At times during our Christian walk, we stop making that time to listen. I've had some good excuses in my own mind. There are no good excuses. You know where I'm going. Did you catch that? Life gets busy, married, raising kids, working, extended family, life gets so busy. But we're challenged, and I'm challenged this morning to make time to listen to Jesus. It's so tragic in our own lives, the pain and suffering that could be avoided. I'm 52 years old, and I look back, and I'm honest, and I say, there's some pain and suffering I've had in my life in different ways and trials, some of which came from outside sources, we'll put it that way, other people, other circumstances. But unfortunately, some of them I brought upon myself because I stopped listening intently as I should have been. And then I look at the world as a whole. And so many of the problems in society that seem insurmountable, when traced back, come back to the root problem of not listening to God. And not just listening, not listening and then heeding what he says. For example, Romans chapter 1 and verse 26. Just before this, Paul points out that, by the way, that it's God and Jesus Christ teach us how to think. You know that? Have you noticed that? Not what to think. He's not a micromanager. And if you read the text later today before this, he's pointing out at one point that we should be able to look around at, as human beings, at creation, in the order we see in the universe, in the sun coming up in the east, setting in the west, the tides, the stars in the sky, the moon and the sun, and we should come to a conclusion on our own that there's a great God and creator out there somewhere. That's expected of us on our part. Because of this, verse 26, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, men abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with the lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. Furthermore, Paul says, let me go on. Because us, by the way, all have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God, all have failed to listen to and to heed and to retain the knowledge of God. If nothing else, before we were a Christian, and being honest at times during our Christian walk, because we're imperfect, but it leads to such trouble in sin. It caused pain in my life, causes pain in the life of others. Furthermore, Paul says, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. I thought it worthwhile to retain some kind of knowledge of that country song because of the values it communicated. But do I consider it worth my time to listen to God and to retain the knowledge that I take in as I set aside that time? Because I didn't think it worthwhile, he gave them over. He didn't give up on them. But during that time of stubbornness and rebellion, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. Now watch this list. I was reluctant to put this in the sermon, but it's ugly. It's hard to hear and to listen to. It's hurtful. It hurts to read it right now. But this is what happens tragically when we don't retain the knowledge of God. Filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice, gossip, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventing ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They're senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Let's never approve of things that God disapproves of, regardless of what it is. So an ugly list this morning, but it's true. The truth hurts at times. But yet times of refreshing come when we look to God and the grace he has to offer. The good news this morning, when we're willing to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd, we find that he cares for us. He's worthy and worth listening to, worthy of our time because he loves us. He's concerned for our souls. He's concerned for where our soul spends eternity. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verses 11 through 13, I am the good shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He's already proved those words to be true, hasn't he? He's already laid down his life for us. He's given himself on the cross. He endured the pain and the suffering that you and I deserve. It's a done deal. He's already completed his mission. He shed that precious blood for you and I. He proved with his actions he is who he claimed to be, the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Jesus didn't abandon us. And the evil one doesn't want what's best for us. Jesus does. The good shepherd does. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. Let's not ever be deceived in thinking that man's greatest enemy, Satan, cares anything for us. I am the good shepherd, verse 14. I know my sheep know me. Do we? Am I getting to know him more and more as I progress and I'm a Christian longer and longer? Am I growing in knowledge, but am I also growing and getting to know him and drawing near to him, knowing his will and his ways, knowing and appreciating how much he loves me and how much he loves you? We want to continue to grow and mature in those ways spiritually. He says, I know my sheep know me. Verse 15, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. And here he goes into reference to Jews and Gentiles and becoming Christians and the gospel really being available to all. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. We never have a chance at the unity that God intended in the church and among his flock if we don't go back to listening to and heeding the shepherd's voice. There's not a chance. Even when we listen to and heed his voice, it's still a challenge. Paul challenges us to make every effort to keep the unity of the faith through the bond of the Spirit. So we have a chance. It is possible when we go back to listening to and heeding the good shepherd. Now there's a debate that takes place, just as people debate today. Very similar, John 10 and verse 19. At these words, the Jews were again divided. The very words of Jesus that were meant to bring unity and help them come to realize how much he loves them and he's willing to lay down their life for them, unfortunately, created division. Was it Jesus' fault? It wasn't Jesus' fault. It was their fault, and at times it's my fault. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, he's demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? The very Son of God, the exact representation of the Father in heaven, now accused of being demon-possessed and raging or raving mad. He's a madman. He's not the Son of God. And then look what they said. Why listen to him? Whew. I hope as Christians we never get to that point. We've already concluded that we need to listen to him. We've already concluded that we need what Jesus has to offer. Forgiveness of sins. Freedom from sin. The hope of spending eternity with him in heaven. Peace that surpasses all understanding, right? So certainly we don't ask ourselves, why listen to him? That's a foregone conclusion for the Christian. Now we're just challenged to continue listening to him. And it's very hard to do. It's very difficult in a very chaotic and confusing world. But I know the Bible makes it clear that God is a God of order. And our enemy, the evil one, is the Lord of chaos from cover to cover. Do you listen to the voice of the shepherd? Our final verse, John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verses 1 through 4. Do you hear the voice of the good shepherd, the loving shepherd, saying, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. They're one and the same, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When you go back and look at creation, they were all involved in creation. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'd be honest with you. I would clue you in and speak the truth. But it's true, there are many rooms. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you, Christian. I'm going to prepare a place for you, Mike Sherman, after your short time here on this earth. James says we're all like a mist here, which just a very short time that we're here on this earth. Even if we were to live 900 or so years as they did in the Old Testament, looking back at their lives, doesn't that seem like a short time they lived? We're just here 100 or less. Or maybe not till tomorrow. We don't know, do we? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Boy, I love this word from Jesus, this soft, tender voice of Jesus giving us hope. That's what he's doing, right? He's giving them hope if they're willing to trust in God and trust in him and trust in this promise that he's going to prepare a place for Christians, his disciples, his followers, his people, his family to be. After their short time here, they could find hope. And the same is true for you and I this morning. If we're willing to listen to him, trust in him, heed his word, take him at his word, we can experience the great blessings that God has for Christians, for his people, for his children. Perhaps this morning is the time for you to respond to the good shepherd who is willing to lay down his life for you. If you had been the only one in this world who sinned and found yourself separated from your Creator, your God, because of your sin, he would have died for you and for me. He shed that precious blood. He endured not only the physical pain and suffering that went along with that cruel crucifixion on a cross. He also endured the mental and spiritual anguish and pain, which is unimaginable, so that you and I wouldn't have to. Thank God he's the good shepherd, willing to lay down his life for us, for human beings. Perhaps today you've already come to the point that you believe Jesus is the Son of God. Perhaps you've come through the scriptures. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Perhaps you've come to the point where you believe that he was crucified for you, buried for those 3 days, and then is now raised and sitting at the right hand of God in heaven, eager for those who are his to come home to be with him. Perhaps you've already come to that point. Maybe you've come to the point where you realize you have a spiritual cancer that only the great physician can heal. That cancer is a cancer that has spread across mankind since sin entered this world through Adam. It's sin. We're all in the same boat. It doesn't matter the color of our skin or the number that comes up when we step on the scale. Uh-oh. Doesn't matter what our bank account says this morning or what car we drove in the parking lot or walked. Doesn't matter how expensive our suits were this morning. Right? The same value on every human being, because all have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God, and we're all worth that price that was paid if we'll only come to believe it and accept it. So perhaps today is a day for you to repent, turn away from that sin, put your faith in Christ, name him as Lord, as your shepherd, and then be buried in the watery grave of baptism and be raised to walk in the newness of life. There's no power in the water, but there is power in the blood that you put your faith in as you're buried with him in baptism. Perhaps you're a Christian and you just need prayers for strength. You don't have to be specific. And I hope you come forward and let your need be made known. But if you can't walk forward this morning for whatever reason, let someone else know. Don't try to bear your burden on your own. There's no need to. God is there for you, and there's other loving Christians there to help you bear that burden. Whatever your need is, we invite you to come as we're going to sing this invitation song.